Carolyn Poole was born and reared in the Christian Science religion, a religion which some listeners may be surprised to hear denies all of the basic tenets of the true Christian faith. Today, she is actively involved with trying to help Christian scientists out of this cult and into a personal relationship with the one true God through Jesus Christ. She is doing this through her ministry called Christian Way. Carolyn, we thank you for joining us today on the program.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Carolyn, how does a Christian scientist practice his or her faith? What does he do?
Well, we are told that we are to get our lesson every day, and it's the same lesson, which is written up in the quarterly, and all the Christian scientists, at least all the good ones, subscribe to the quarterly, and it comes out, of course, four times a year, and it gives the lesson that all the Christian scientists all over the world are studying, so that everybody's reading the same thing, and in it you read first the Bible, and then the Science and Health, which explains the Bible, and 6 days a week you read the same lesson, takes about 30 minutes, and then on Sunday you go to church and you hear the same lesson read over again, and you do not have pastors in Christian Science except as two books. The Bible and the Science and Health are the two pastors, and they elect people to read, usually they elect them for a period of 3 years, to read from the two books.
Now, as I understand it, you were converted at the age of 53. Tell us what happened.
Well, I was beginning to see when I was a Christian Scientist that we only studied a little bit of the Bible here and there. It was bothering me because, see, we were taught that Christian Science is based on the Bible. But I knew we didn't know most of it, and I felt a strong conviction, which I now believe was God calling me. But, of course, I didn't know that then, that I should learn more of the Bible, and I tried to get a Bible study started in our church. I was president of the executive board in our branch church, and they agreed on it, but they didn't do it. And every day, I was knowing the truth, Christian Science term, about this Bible study. And then two women came to my door and invited me to the Christian Women's Bible study in the home. And they later told me, when we became friends, that they had been convicted in the spirit to go door to door in my neighborhood. I was the only one they got from the neighborhood to come to that Bible study. And it took months before my eyes started seeing such verses as that all had come, all sin had come short of the glory of God, and started seeing who the real Jesus is. And then, of course, once I found the truth, I had to leave Christian Science.
All right, let's get a brief historical background, if we may, of Mary Baker Eddy and how she came to found this organization.
All right, she was born in July 1821. Her father was a strict Calvinist. She was a very sickly child. She had to stay home from school most of the time. She had some kind of nervous condition and some kind of back problem. And then when she married, I think she was about 21 or 22, when she married a man by the name of Glover, he was only married about 6 months and he died. And she had a child, but she couldn't take care of her child. She was too ill. Then later she married Mr. Patterson, a dentist, and he was unfaithful, so he left her, and he left her in 1866. But before he left her, he had gone up to Portland, Maine, to a man by the name of Phineas P. Quimby. He had heard of him, and he was a healer, which was the only term he could get him. He was not very religious. It's just that he had a healing technique, and in studying him further, he was into hypnotism, and I realized now he was in the occult, too, because his patients are recorded to have had experiences where they'd be in another city, and he would appear to them, and that I think that would be called an occultic experience. So Mary Baker Eddy, who was in very ill health, went up there, and she was helped, and she also had access to his manuscript, and later the charge was that she copied much of Christian Science from him. And I think we can say that she did get a lot of ideas from him, though she later put her own teachings into it, too.
When did she abandon the faith of her parents?
Glad you asked that. From the very beginning, because she couldn't accept hell, the concept of hell. She argued with her father, she argued with the people in the church, but still they let her, you know, join the church at the age of 17. And She just felt there was a higher truth, which she was in search of. And then the big change came in 1866. She had divorced her second husband. Phineas Quimby died. And at first she was praising him, and then she later rejected that she got any anything from him, and she fell on the ice and felt that she was near death, and she called for the Bible and had a healing. Now, years later, the doctor that took care of her went back to the records, and he claimed she was not near death. So I'm just telling you what the records say. But when she had this healing, she made up her mind to find out what was this thing that happened in her life that healed her. So that's how she started studying night and day and started coming up with the principles of Christian Science.
So when it's all said and done, Christian Science is all based on experience, and specifically one person's experience.
Yes, she's called the Revelator. Christian Science is called the Revelation. And we're also told that in order to know the Revelation, that we have to know the Revelator, that we cannot separate Mrs. Eddy as her place in Christian Science from Christian Science. And the longer you're in the religion, the more you look to her, or when I say look to her, now she's been dead since 1910. She died from pneumonia. But she was 89 years old. But we get to the point that we look to her writings to find out everything of what we should do or how we should think. Because we believed, or I used to, of course, believe it, that she had the revelation, that God had anointed this woman, given her the understanding that other people didn't have.
Carolyn, if she died of pneumonia, how does a good Christian scientist explain that in light of their teaching on sickness and death, which denies both?
They have a very nice, neat way of looking at what they want to look at and ignoring what they don't want to look at. They never even come out and tell you that it was pneumonia. It's just that I got hold of books, not just one book, but many books, which are what you call unauthorized books of her life, and that's what happened. So you have to dig for the facts. But when you're a trusting Christian Scientist, you don't want the facts. You see, when anybody dies in Christian Science, it's not the fault of Christian Science. It's the fault of that person for not having their spiritual understanding or getting their lesson like they should.
Yes, but her dying of pneumonia wouldn't say much for the Revelator, would it?
No, but you see, they're so busy praising her. It's all through the religion. It's geared towards her in the manual, the church manual, which I have in front of me. They have on Article 8, Section 6, a passage that Christian Scientists, the good members, are encouraged to read or to say every single day. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestions and not be made to forget nor to neglect his duty to God, to his leader. Now, let me stop a minute. Leader, spelled with a capital L, means Mary Baker Eddy, and to mankind. By his works he shall be judged and justified or condemned. Now, you see, in reading that every day, you are being told that you have a duty to her. And then the last sentence is letting you know that you're going to be judged or condemned. In other words, there's a little threat there. You feel that, you know, that you owe her an undying loyalty for all that she did. And you're not permitted as a Christian Scientist to read unauthorized literature, anything that's critical. And a good Christian Scientist wouldn't for a second read anything critical of Christian Science. This is why one reason why it's hard to witness to them.
All right, let's talk a little about their theology. What do Christian Scientists actually believe about God?
Well, that God is a principle, that he is life, truth, and love, that he doesn't know matter, that he cannot be in matter. Now, this may sound strange for me to emphasize this, but Mrs. Eddy emphasizes all the way through about how God is not in matter and cannot be in matter. And even when I was a Christian Scientist studying it over and over through the years, I found that a little bit tiring and wondered why she always stressed that. Well, in those days, I didn't realize that, and when we say matter, I'm talking about the body, you know, too, among other things. I didn't realize that God, who is spirit, had literally come down into matter, the body, place, and that God was walking on the earth as a human man. I did not know anybody said it. I didn't know the Bible said it. And Mrs. Eddy laid the groundwork so cleverly, over and over to deny that by this. It was a Gnostic doctrine. That's the word we should have said sooner. It was in the first and second century. And that's what First John was written for, was to put down the Gnostic doctrine that was prevalent then.
You know, I can't help but be a little bewildered by all of this, especially the idea that God has nothing to do with matter. There's a real contradiction here in light of the fact that you say Mary Baker Eddy believed in the first chapter of Genesis, which clearly states that God created a physical universe and said it was good.
Well, you don't get too technical. Mainly, you just think that all is in the mind, and God is mind, spelled with a capital M, and that he thought the world, everything that exists is because you think it does, and he thought it in. And so it existed as a spiritual thought, because man is a spiritual idea of God. Now, that's not a very good answer, but that's, they don't get too technical. If you get too technical and you're in it, you get out of it. And incidentally, I've noticed more men get out of it for reasons like that than women. Not running down my own sex, but that's the way it is.
What do they believe about heaven and hell?
Well, heaven and hell are only states of mind, and you actually can experience them on this earth. You know, if you're extremely happy, that's a little touch of heaven. Or if you're in extreme belief of pain or something terrible, you're experiencing it. But as far as what's going to happen when you leave here, he says that there's no final judgment day. Well, here, let me give you her own words. No final judgment awaits mortals, for the judgment day of wisdom comes hourly and continually. And that's in the Science and Health with Keys of Scriptures on page 291.
I understand that they use part of the Bible in their worship services. Did Mary Baker Eddy ever state in her writings that the Bible was the Word of God?
She does it two ways. She said that she founded Christian Science only on the Bible, and in the tenets of Christian Science Church, she said that she takes the inspired word of the Bible to be the sufficient guide to eternal life. We have two pastors in Christian Science, the Bible and the Science and Health, so it's one of your pastors. And since that's the only book that she studied, according to her, when she was founding Christian Science, you think, when you're in it, that what you are learning is based on the Bible. Now, here's how she gets away from taking the Bible literally. First of all, she teaches you in her writings that the Bible cannot be taken literally. You need her spiritual interpretation for it. That's number one. Number two, she said that misinterpretations got into the Bible, and that's why we don't have to take all of the Bible. In other words, here's her exact words. The 30,000 different readings in the Old Testament and the 3,000 in the New, these facts show how a mortal and material sense stole into the divine record with its own hue, darkening to some extent inspired pages. That's Science and Health, page 39. So, you believe there's some incorrect things here and there in the Bible. So that's how you get out of it. You don't take it literally. You have to interpret it spiritually. You have to have her interpretation. And some of it isn't right anyway.
All right. Now, you briefly mentioned earlier that medical healing is a real issue with Christian Scientists. Are you saying that they'll avoid doctors even in cases where their body, which, of course, they say isn't real, has a problem which they can't ignore, such as a broken bone or a heart attack?
Well, I'm going to have to answer that two ways. Many of them do. Many of them don't. And we do not have any way to get records because I hear from so many relatives of Christian Scientists. These are people who are Christians that write me and their loved ones of Christian Scientists and died. We hear many stories where people have things that doctors could have probably cured or helped and the people did not go to the doctor. And I was in that boat too for a long time. Now, sometimes a Christian Scientist loses his courage or faith or something and get scared and then he goes to the doctor. And Mary Baker Eddy does say somewhere if they have a broken bone, it's hard to get that set. But they, and we hear cases where they have broken bones and don't get it set. In one case I heard it was a broken bone, they didn't get set and it healed crooked. So I have to answer you to say that, some of them do go to the doctors and there's hundreds of them and we have no way of ever getting any accurate, 100% accurate records. But there's not hundreds. I know there's thousands of people who have died of Christian Science that could have been helped that have medical care. Or maybe they don't go to the doctor until the day they died, like my mother. I didn't get her to the doctor until 8 hours before they put her in the hospital and she died. And we think now, even though she was an older woman, she might have had a few more years because she died from, congestive heart failure, but it was brought on from anemia, and they say they can treat anemia.
What incredible bondage these people must be in.
It is, and the thing that's so sad about it is cases, real-life cases we hear of, is that the Christian Scientist who is dying with a great illness, they have relatives who are, say, Christians or non-Christian Scientists, they won't often tell their relatives that they're sick. And sometimes they will even go into a Christian Science nursing home and nobody can get in to see them because and you can't go in to witness to them, even to encourage them to get out there and go get medical care. And we hear the women being in great pain. And then you're informed a little later that they passed on, use Christian Science term. And well, like my one of my best friends who's ex-Christian Science, all of her family was in it, and her brother died, and she was real close to this brother, but he and his wife, all of them started off being strong Christian Science. His wife didn't even tell her that her brother was sick, and then informed her that he had died, and never even told her what he died from, and she's left with a mystery all this time. And then they didn't have a funeral.
Do they not have funerals?
They have funerals. A lot of them, they do and they don't. Some have funerals, some don't. But the Christian Science funeral is one of the coldest things that anyone could ever go to, because, you see, death is only an illusion. If you're a good Christian Science, you're not to express any sorrow or grief because a person didn't die. You're supposed to be there knowing the truth. And they don't give you any comfort. And I was human enough when my mother died, and I went into such terrible grief, that, and I was real active in the Christian Science Church. I needed somebody to come to my home and just be a human being and put their arm around me and comfort me, and no one came. Even when I went to church, no one even said anything to comfort me. And this isn't just an isolated case. Our files are full of letters from people who are quite bitter over what happened when their loved one died in Christian Science.
The last thing I'd like you to discuss before we leave the theology of Christian Science is their attitude that they have towards Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection.
The important point in Christian Science is that Jesus and Christ are not the same. You can talk to some Christian Science and they'll say, oh, we believe he's the same. Then when you pin them down and you say to them, do you believe that you can do the same things that Jesus did when you grow spiritually minded as he did? So Jesus was not the Christ. Jesus was, of course, not God, and she did say that in her statement that he was not God. But I was so brainwashed that I never even saw that the Bible said he was God or that she said he wasn't God. But here's her own statement. I'll read the sentence. Her sentences are always kind of long. She said, thus he virtually unites with the Jews' belief in one God and recognizes that Jesus Christ is not God, as Jesus himself declared, but is the Son of God. So she said Jesus was not God. And she believes that when Jesus died on the cross, that when Jesus died on the cross, that what he was doing for us is demonstrating that death is only an illusion. And that was why I was so thrilled and pleased with what Jesus did, was knowing that he proved once and for all that none of us have to go through death, because we really don't die in the first place. And we can do what he did when we go spiritually minded as he was. I didn't have the faintest idea that it had anything to do with sin, but since I wasn't a sinner anyway, and there's no hell, that was no problem to me.
Now, wait a minute. How does Jesus Christ's death, which was very real, prove that death is an illusion?
Because he rose again. He overcame the grave. I mean, that's the way we thought of Christian Science.
Carolyn, what do you feel is the biggest hurdle that a Christian Scientist faces when considering coming out of that cult into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, like you yourself have done?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, so let me tell you what was the biggest hurdle. There were two of them. The first one was when I first started seeing that man who walked around 2,000 years ago, Jesus, was actually God, because Mary Bagley had laid the groundwork so much that God doesn't know matter, can't be in matter, is greater than matter, and that matter is evil. And I didn't see any way in the world at first that he could be God, but I was starting to see that John said it, and other places in the Bible was saying it. And I had to really wrestle with it, and I finally, had to put some conclusions, such as I'm not going to call Jesus a liar, because he acknowledged that he was God. I had to do such things, reasoning such as that, and say, well, and the other thing that I think the Lord told me is that God's ways are not man's ways, the Bible tells us. As the heavens are higher than the earth, sure, God's way is higher than man. So I had finally realized that I just had to go with it, even though I didn't understand it. And at first it was hard to accept. The second one, which was equally hard to accept, is that there could be a hell that was for eternity. It was such a horrible thing. It filled me with such utter terror, the idea that that's part of why I'm in this ministry. I even got a little bit annoyed with Christians that I met, because I thought, if they really believe it, and they say they believe it, they'd be doing everything they can not to let anybody go there, because what's bothering me about hell is that you don't have a second chance. It's a terrible place and no second chance. You know, that we should do everything we can to try to warn people about it and keep them from going there and show them who Jesus Christ is.
Well, I understand you are engaged in trying to bring the truth of the gospel to Christian Scientists. Why don't you tell us about your ministry?
Well, we started off, as soon as I left Christian Science, I knew that I couldn't just let this thing go. And I thought I was just consumed by it night and day. And I went down to Walter Martin's class down at Melodyland and met him, and he invited me to speak in front of his class. And there I met other people who had been in Christian Science, and we started meeting in my friend's home for 2.5 years, a little group of us. And she wrote an article, I sent it to you, that one called New Beginnings, and mailed that out. We did that mailing through Dr. Walter Martin's ministry. And then as time went on, we realized that we needed to form an organization, legal organization of our own. And we also came to realize that even though it was fun to meet together, that we weren't able to meet reach many people that way, that we really had to just get into the literature and mailing it out. So that's basically what it is. I work out of my home with the office, and we are organized under the name of Christian Way, and we have a newsletter we send out 4 times a year, and it goes to several thousand people, and they're mostly people who are either former Christian Scientists, or their pastors, or their friends of Christian Scientists, relatives of Christian Scientists. And we try to keep them up to date what's going on. And then they give our literature to the Christian Science. In other words, it's very hard to find a way to get to them. And it's not easy to witness to a Christian Science.
By the way, if anyone would be interested in knowing more about your ministry to Christian Scientists, they can write to me and I'll pass along your address. You say it's not easy to reach a Christian Scientist. What suggestions do you have to help us to reach these people?
Well, going to what we've heard of how the most people have come out of it, it's been through their studying the Bible, and if you are on good terms and are close to the Christian Science, if you can get them to go to a non-denominational Bible study, and in that case, be sure you say nothing against Christian Science, treat them with respect and love, and get them in the Bible to show them who Jesus is, and then pray for them, but do not tell them that you're praying for them, because that goes against the rules of Christian Science, is for anybody to pray for you, unless you ask them to pray for you, and you're only allowed to ask one person at a time to do that. Usually it's your practitioner. So that's the basic thing. And then, if they feel the right time has come, they can give them our literature. And if you can invite them to your church, if you go to a Christian church that has some interesting programs, just invite them as a friend and keep praying for them, but don't let them know you're praying for them.
But Carolyn, the time is gone. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's been a privilege, and I just pray that this will be used of the Lord to help someone.